I'm intrigued by this topic of impermanence. I quite like thinking about it, and so I'm tickled to have an opportunity to share that and do some meditation with it tonight, especially this time of year. You know, I imagine most people, unless you're in South Florida or Los Angeles or maybe Southern Arizona, but most people in North America are quite aware of the phenomena of impermanence in the middle of October. You know, the air starts to change, the landscape changes quite a bit, and you know, it's the return to kind of winter and productivity time for most people. That may not be a completely universal, but it's a beautiful example of how things change. And that's something that we just want to talk about, why we should think about that, why should we should really notice that, and how to cultivate an awareness that really serves us. How making friends with impermanence will actually help make our lives a little easier to live. But let's start with some breathing meditation just to bring ourselves from the end of the day into this setting, this time together. So wherever you are, and whatever your meditation contraption is, if you're on the floor, of course, with your legs crossed as best you can. If you're in a chair, put your feet flat on the floor so that you can really connect with the floor. And the main thing, wherever you are, like if you're on a couch, best thing to do would be get towards the edge of it so that you're sitting up straight with your spine straight. Shoulders level. You can tuck in your chin just a little bit to get a stretch in the neck. Lips closed. In our tradition, we have our hands in the lap, left on the bottom, right on the top, with the thumbs touching like so. If you have another tradition that you trained in, that's fine too, but that your arms are relaxed. But also firm, right? The posture is firm, straight up and down, like a mountain, and also very deeply relaxed. Eyes lowered, so leave some light coming in, but unfocused, so that you're not distracted by things in front of you. If you're in front of your computer and that email indicator light is on, you might want to turn it off. But get yourself in a situation where you can really turn your attention inward, which is where meditation takes us, right? In. And so first bring your attention into the room that you're in, not traveling the universe, but right in this room, right here, right now. Bring your attention to your own body. We'll start with a little scan. So bring your attention to the bottoms of your feet. If you're in a chair, really feel the sensations of your connection with the floor. If you're on a cushion, feel the sensations of your tush on the floor or the cushion. And just without really probing, and for sure without looking, see if you can with your senses discern where your feet or your rear ends and the cushion or the floor begins. Even in our sensations, it's not so much that we're an isolated, separate, discrete unit.
And just feel the sensations in your feet, lower legs, upper legs, being aware of the movement, if there's any discomfort, breathe into it, any tension, soften and let it go. Move your attention up into your hips. And up your spine, vertebra by vertebra, starting at the bottom, moving up, and adjust a little bit as you need to find a place of supported straight back, soft front. Places where you notice tightness or tension, discomfort, breathe into that and let it go. And then you can move your attention up the front of the body, lower belly, diaphragm area, up into your chest, being aware of any sensations, and that can be muscular or even deeper sensations in the organs. And if you notice any tightness, tension, discomfort, gently breathe into that and let it soften. And then move your attention into your neck and throat. Jaw. Muscles of the face. Be aware of tension in these areas. You might let a little smile come up. Just a little half smile, not a big grin. A Mona Lisa smile. It softens the muscles around the mouth and the eyes. Maybe lifts our mind a little bit. And then take your attention all the way up to the crown of your head. Noticing any points of tension, tightness, discomfort. If you find any, breathe into it, soften, let it go. Now that we're more settled in our bodies, we can turn our attention to our breathing. Just notice what's there. No need to change how you breathe. Just being aware of the in-breath, the out-breath. Space in between. In-breath and out-breath. Notice how the body moves as you inhale. Notice the sequence of movement as you exhale. Experience the sensation of breathing as you inhale. Space in between. And as you exhale, and let this gentle movement of the breath be the place you come home to over again in your mind. Maybe it's quite pleasant to breathe in this way. And maybe there are other feelings that arise. Just notice. Bring your attention back to the breathing itself. We'll do this for another minute or two in silence. And let's set a motivation for a time together. Just recalling that with every breath, with every moment, we can already see the change in ourselves. Moment by moment by moment, things, people, ideas, situations, change, change, change. We experience it as does every other being. And in part, it's this very quality of change that allows us to develop our good qualities, our good heart, allows us to take on the things that challenge us and move forward. So as we take this Dharma daily gathering time together tonight, we can imagine extending all that we learn and all that we experience to be not just for our own benefit, but that through the ripple effect, the goodness that we create affects beings around us, even far field. So that through our practice, may all beings realize the nature of impermanence. And use that deepening wisdom to cultivate their good hearts and to help others. As a seed for our own full awakening. And for the awakening of all. It's so evident when we stop for a minute that with every single breath, I don't know about you, but for me, every single breath, you can feel like the body changes. The mind is changing. And in a context like this, it's very soothing. It's kind of delicious in a way to sink into that, bringing more peace through observing the breath. One aspect of this quality of impermanence that I find very, very useful to think about is that when the Buddha taught the Four Noble Truths, in this very first one, that cyclic existence, the world we live in, is not 100% hunky-dory, right? We live in a situation of unsatisfactoriness. We live in a situation where we're subject to our own minds going nuts. We're subject to things arising, problems coming, whether we want them or not, all based on our own actions in the past. And we're subject inevitably to aging, sickness, and death now that we're born. So nobody likes to think about those things, really. But one of the things that the Buddha pointed out is that one of the reasons we suffer is because we cling to things that are in the very nature of impermanence as being permanent. So, if we think about it at all, you think, well, no, I don't think this thing is permanent. But if it broke and it had some meaning for me, I would be shocked. I might be hurt, I might be angry, I might be sad. But that's kind of the Buddha's point. He said that this is in the very nature to change. So this is not so meaningful to probably most people, but when we look at our relationships, when they change, we're shocked. When our mother's beautiful Steuben glass mouse breaks, we're shocked. When people die, we're shocked. When there's an earthquake, again, 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 when there are situations that are outside of our control and unexpected, change. Why are we shocked? Because we've grasped at things as though they were going to stay the same. That's the way we perceive it. It looks solid. It looks unchanging. I don't see anything changing about this cup. I can't perceive it with my senses. But the fact is, the cup is changing moment by moment, and someday it will be in a lot of pieces. It could last a very long time or not a very long time. That we never know. And so one of the antidotes to that clinging is to actually familiarize ourselves with this process of change. I think it's hard to argue with. If we just think for a minute, what has been some of the biggest suffering of our lives? Why do we grieve over losses? Loss of career,
loss of job, loss of people for sure, loss of pets, we lose our house. I mean, there is this many levels of emotion there, but one of them is we don't expect things to change. We just don't expect it. And the more I've thought about this over the years, the more I think, duh. My whole life experience is that things change. And yet, the surprise that comes when things do change, it continues to be a source of pain. So for just a few minutes, and we'll do this again in a couple of weeks, and I want to stay with this same theme, but one of the ways to start to help ourselves let go a little bit is to get familiar, as I just said. And so I want to walk us through just some ways to start thinking about it. It's not like we have to take on visualizing or imagining big catastrophic things that will get us used to it. It's very simple things, like bring to mind someone that you've known for a long time. Probably better if it's not somebody you're really close to, like your own child, but a cousin, or a childhood friend, or somebody like that you've known for a long time. And just reflect for a moment, since you've known that person, physically, how they have changed. Childhood, teenager, young adult, just bring to mind. So among the things you might notice, besides the obvious different size of the body, for example, is the fluctuation in weight. For some people, different changes in hair color, haircuts, hairstyles. How their thinking manifests in their appearance over the course of however long you've known them. Think about how that person's complexion changes with the season, perhaps. You've seen them in snow. You've seen them on the beach in heat. And then see if you can imagine them into very old age. Changing, changing, changing. And then the direction, as we think about this, is to end each reflection with this thought, how remarkable is the impermanence of these entities? How remarkable is the impermanence of this person?
So the point is that it's something we actually live with, we see every day, but we don't really see it. We don't really notice. The way impermanence is happening, this is a very gross level observation, right? Very gross level changes. But it can only happen at a gross level because it's happening at a very subtle level, moment by moment. Moment by moment. It's not like, well, it's not like the person is a toddler for a while, stays exactly the same, then all of a sudden, boom, they're ready for kindergarten. They look like they're six for a long time, and then, boom, they look like they're 12. It doesn't happen that way. How else could it happen? Only by little incremental changes every single moment, going on all the time. So this series of reflections comes from one of the great Indian saints, Asanga. So it's, you know, 1700 or 1800 years old. No, Asanga, 4th century. Anyway, it's old. They had the same issues with change. 18 centuries ago. And his advice is to take this reflection and look at people, our own lives, look at our neighborhood, look at how things change over a period of time on the street corner that you're most familiar with. The shops change, the sign changes. The shutters fall off the building. The owner changes, they get a new sign. Somebody sweeps the street. Somebody dumps popcorn all over the sink, the street. It changes moment by moment by moment. And when we start to pay attention, then we begin to develop a familiarity with this inevitable phenomena. It is how things are. And we stop hanging on so tight that we get more used to it. So that when big changes do come, we've developed a familiarity and we can welcome them. So that's probably enough for tonight. I know there's a couple of minutes for questions if people have any thoughts on this.
Thank you very much. Definitely a topic that I need to think about a lot.
Yeah.
Hate it.
Yeah.
But when you describe it the way you did, that makes me kind of realize how silly I'm being by saying I hate change because everything changes. So
I don't know that it's so silly, Rebecca, but it's kind of because we like, you know, when we're happy, we want things to stay the same. But what it does do is it causes us so much pain when they don't. Right? I mean, it's suffering, it's difficult. And then when we fight it, it's all the more difficult. So what I love about this particular gentle way of reflecting on it is that we just sort of get more used to the idea. And it's our friend, actually. How do we grow if we don't change? How do we get an education if we don't change? You know, all of that. So it has its helpful benefits. Pain actually changes. It doesn't last forever.
Well, we have a comment from Sandy.
Yeah.
Who says, I can get very frustrated and impatient when I perceive that people or circumstances don't change for what I think is the better.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm recognizing that in truth, people and circumstance are always changing, even though it might not be obvious without focused, careful thought and contemplation.
Yeah, very good insight. It also may not be changing in the direction that we would like to see it change, as you pointed out. That's another topic.
Just do what I say.
Yeah. Yeah, very well said. Very well said. That's exactly what happens. So, yeah, may it be helpful. And as we learn to embrace that, then in a way we have a lot more open-heartedness, or a lot more openness to what's happening, and we can be more aware and present and respond in a way rather than react. And that's very beneficial for ourselves and the people around us. Yeah. So let's dedicate the merit of this just for a moment, because we're all experiencing change, and in this very moment, everywhere, there's somebody fighting it, a lot of people fighting it and suffering because of it. So by our reflection and just touching on this topic, may we find our own openness, and may the merit from this wish to understand ourselves and cultivate our own richness, may that have an effect to soften the suffering of the beings all around us, too. Thank you.